in spite of their wicked things they've been doing to you. In fact, I almost think that there is an inverse sort of equation, meaning the worse someone treats you, the greater the kindness you should do them. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when they were crucifying Jesus, he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." But when the Pharisees presented all, you know, with all their false ways and doctrines, he rebuked them sharply, which is not returning evil for evil. Let's say someone's misbehaving in some way, and I rebuke them. That is not giving evil for evil. That is good for evil, because rebuke is good. The Old Testament, and then just because it's in the Old Testament doesn't mean it's passed away. Some things, some truths are eternal. And there are still great principles and truths to be gleaned from the Old Testament. Because remember, the law is good and holy. And sometimes I consult the law, not to establish my righteousness, because righteousness can't be established by the law. But the law bears witness to the righteousness which I have. And in the book of Leviticus, one of my favorite verses, and I believe it was Leviticus verse chapter 19, has this Leviticus 19, verse 17. This is the law, but it's still a principle that it stands true to this very day. It says, "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor, and not suffer sin upon him." See, when you see someone sinning, and you say nothing, you're actually exhibiting hatred towards them. Did you understand that? That to the principle of law, Leviticus 19, verse 17, if I see someone sin, right, and I have an opportunity to rebuke them, and I pass it up, now I've sinned. Because, you know, I am hating my brother according to the Lord. So, now when you rebuke someone who sins a sin, and I suppose the presumption is that they don't know that they're sinning. I mean, we don't need to become busybodies in other people's affairs necessarily. But, according to the Holy Ghost, because remember, we're not going to go back to the law and make that a law. Because we can't be righteous by the law, but we are going to, by faith, understand that principle, and then so that we know when God leads us to rebuke someone that we are fulfilling righteousness and it's not sin. So if someone is teaching false doctrine and I rebuke it, that is love. That is not hate. That is not returning evil for evil. That is returning good for evil. And providing things honest in the sight of all men. Now, they may not see it as such, but that's the way God sees it. And he's the one who's going to judge, ultimately. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Because it is Christ that judges. So if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. But don't use that as a crutch to say, well, if it's possible. Give possible. I mean, you know, there are so many things possible in the universe. I mean, the possibilities are endless. There are many ways that could be that peace can be brought about, right? So, let this verse never stand as a crutch for us to be at war with our neighbor. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously, sometimes people are just going to have it in for you, right? And bless them and take it, and etc. But I think in a sense, it's like you never want to go to a court as the guilty party in some sort of civil dispute, right? Let them be the ones who do you wrong. Don't turn around and do them wrong. You try to make peace. Let them make war. And if it all else fails, avoid. That can bring peace too. Avoiding people who are ungodly can bring peace to your life. If there's someone who's troubling you, avoid them. Now, if they're hunting you down, if it's impossible, then it's impossible. And at that point, like I said, I would seek not to live with them, or with them in your life. I'd try to get them out of your life. If you can't live peaceably with someone, get them so that you don't have to live with them. So, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. See, that's the knowledge the saints have. We bless those who persecute us, knowing that God is the avenger of us. Okay? It isn't that God has gone all soft on the wicked. No, it's just that he is asking us to be of this particular mind, as Christ was, and put up with it. Because he will punish. Don't sit there and gloat in your mind thinking, yeah, well, they're going to get it. God's going to give it to them. Don't be minded like that. Be minded and be hopeful. Say, perhaps my example of putting up with this will lead them to repentance, at least in your heart. You know, that is being perfect. God repays. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. A lot of times doing nice things to people or doing bad things is... it's its own vengeance. You know what I mean? It's not worldly vengeance, but it's the vengeance of the Spirit. You heap coals of fire on their head. In verse 19, that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, is an Old Testament verse quoted here from Deuteronomy 32, verse 35. And verse 20, that is from Proverbs 25, 21 and 22. So this is not something that only Jesus and Paul understood, that you feed your enemy, do good to them. Because a lot of times when people do you ill, they want, you know, like if someone, like Jesus says, if someone hits you on the right cheek, turn to him the left. Because what he's saying is,